what it is.
Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Yeah, you know what it is.
Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
You know what it is. It is the Birds and the Berg Football Podcast. I am your host, Fred Halbig. And joining me today after a huge win for the Steelers yesterday, Jay, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm wondering if it's possible in the city of Pittsburgh to change this day to Minka Fitzpatrick Day.
The greatest safety of all time.
Think it's possible. Give him the key to the city, statue, do the whole thing.
Oh, my God. I'm done. I'm not talking about Minka Fitzpatrick.
Oh, we're going to talk about Minka a lot today.
We're not talking about Minka Fitzpatrick. I'll shut it off. I don't care. Yes, the Steelers got a huge win yesterday over the Rams. They are now over 500, 5-4. I believe they are the sixth seed in the playoffs, too.
Well, yeah, we will get into that.
Yeah, so big win for the Steelers. Rams looked bad, but I think it's because the Steelers' defense is good. Really good.
The crazy thing was, too, their defense didn't even look that good. I mean, we'll jump into it.
Yeah, I guess we'll get into it.
But overall, the Rams just weren't impressive in this game.
No, not at all.
I mean, I'll give you all the compliments in the world on that, where you said they were going to have a bad year.
Yeah, they were going to have a down year. We'll get into that more when we go over the Steelers' review. But before we go into that, let's go over a few of the other big games that happened this past Sunday, and let's talk about how that was a good weekend for the Eagles, even though they did not play. So one of the first big games that happened, let me see here, is that the Panthers ended up losing to the Packers 24-16. That helps because now the Panthers are 5-4 and tied with the Eagles if they are looking to get into a wild card position. Yeah. So that was big for them. Going into this weekend, it looked like it was going to be the division or bust for the Eagles. Either they won the division or not. But now after, let me see, there was another game, a couple key losses here. They have a chance to actually be into the wild card. I guess that's the only main one. I guess the second biggest game, obviously, was the Vikings beating the Cowboys last night.
Yeah. There's no other game that could have helped you out as much as that game did.
No, because now the Cowboys are 5-4. They are tied with Philadelphia. They own the tiebreaker over us as of right now, but we do get to play again week 16 in Philadelphia. It looks like the Cowboys and the Eagles are on a collision course for that week 16 game for the division. They each have games against the Patriots coming up. I know the Cowboys have to play the Rams. I know the Rams, I don't believe they're that good, but I think they could give the Cowboys trouble. They beat them last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Eagles obviously have Seattle, but then we have some games against Miami, New York, Washington. So I do believe it's going to come down to week 16. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you were saying with the losses that helped you guys, definitely the Rams loss helped you. Because they're seventh right now.
The Rams lost. I didn't even think about that.
You still have Seattle coming up. Seattle has the fifth seed right now. They only have two losses, but a couple losses could really put you in contention still for that wild card.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. If the 49ers can win tonight against Seattle, we have Seattle in 2 weeks. So if we end up beating them, that would give us a tiebreaker over them in the wild card at both, depending on what we finish as on the season. We'll get into the Eagles preview against the Patriots later on this week. But I don't know if I see them winning that game right now. So winning against Seattle would be big for them. That's also a tough game. So we'll see going on. But, yeah, I complete the Rams losing. They're, what, 5-4 now?
Yep.
The Panthers losing. They're 5-4.
How about New Orleans losing, too?
Yeah, that was a big game yesterday.
Embarrassing fashion, to an awful Atlanta team.
Got completely shut down by Atlanta's defense.
Yeah.
To me, the NFC is wide open. I do believe the Saints are probably the best team. I'm not sold on the 49ers yet. We'll see tonight. This is the first.
Niners are the best team.
we'll see tonight when they play a legit team for the first time, like, all year.
Oh, yeah.
What they're made of. But, yeah, I believe the NFC is wide open. If the Eagles can somehow squeak into the playoffs or win the division, I'd give them a chance. Like I said, you know, they I don't think they're good enough to win the Super Bowl at this moment. I don't think they did enough to try to help the wide receiver position during the bye. I do like them bringing in Jordan Matthews, as we talked about, but I don't think it's enough. I was hoping they made one more move to get that a little shirt up, but – you know, hopefully, maybe over the bye week, Doug looked at everything and he's able to scheme up something different and help the passing game out, because they need to do something different.
Yeah. Now, you say you don't think you guys or you're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. Getting to the playoffs, it's open for anybody. Did you think in 2017 you guys were good enough to win the Super Bowl?
Not at the beginning of the year.
So,
but towards the end of the year, there was no doubt in my mind that it was the Eagles. Well, until obviously Carson went down, and then I didn't believe Foles could win it.
Yeah.
But there was just something special about that team. You could just tell by watching them that they were really good on in all aspects. And when you watch this Eagles team this year, there's nothing about them that screams like special.
You don't get that.
Yeah.
You don't get that feeling this year.
Yeah. So, like I said, if they get in, anything can happen. You always just want to get to the dance. You never know. Yeah. They might go on a run and get hot, and you've seen teams do that before, even as a wild card, who start playing really good ball at the end of the year, and they make that run to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
So you never know, but it was a good weekend for the Eagles, for obviously with the Cowboys losing. So they're tied now for the division. And then a few of these other teams losing kind of even helps their wild card chances out. All right, so let's get into the big game from yesterday. America's game of the week, they kept saying on Fox. That was the Rams versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers came away with a 17-12 victory, all defense. They held the Rams offense out of the end zone. They only scored by that fumble recovery in the beginning of the game, and then they basically shut him out. Jay,
into it, man. Yeah, and then a field goal and a safety, which we'll touch on that safety in a little bit, which is one of the worst play calls I've ever seen. Some quick thoughts on the game, man. Like Fred just said, 17-12, Steelers got the victory. This game felt a bigger win for the Steelers than the score showed. That their defense dominated the whole game.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. At no point watching that game did I feel confident that the Rams were going to do anything at all. I think you were texting me at the end of the game saying, like, oh, I don't feel good about it. And I texted back. I said, there's zero chance the Rams score here.
Yeah. It was just because, look, I see a lot of stuff, beat writers, all these people coming out saying this offense is – garbage. They're not good enough. Mason Rudolph looked great yesterday. And I'll jump into some of his numbers a little later. I just want to show.
He played better than Jared Goff, and Jared Goff is making $138 million.
Yeah. And Mason Rudolph, yeah, you're absolutely right. But Mason Rudolph played better than he's played this whole year. This was his absolute best game. Because he was making the throws downfield.
But that's also worrisome because they didn't really put up any points.
They didn't, and we can jump right into that. Six drops by this team. I want to say thank you for letting us use your receivers this week.
Yeah, but I don't want to hear anything about drops.
Yeah, there was – I know that. By my count, I think there was four drops on third downs.
Yeah.
Which would have converted. You had a big turnover by James Washington on a good deep pass, a lot of running catch, and he fumbled the ball away.
Yeah,
and then just Juju dropped the big one. I mean, so it was like he didn't get much help in this game. Mason finished 22 for 38, 247 yards and a touchdown.
What obviously means that he's not a good leader, and the Steelers receivers don't like him. They're dropping the ball on purpose.
You're absolutely right, according to some stupid Max idiots Kellerman. That sit in a studio. Yeah.
And get paid a lot of money to talk.
For no reason.
Unbelievable.
Go talk boxing, stupid. Yeah, so look, right now, like you said at the beginning, right now the Steelers, shocking everybody else, have the sixth seed right now. They are four, in the playoffs.
Four straight wins, right?
Four straight wins. They yeah. started the year 0-3. And then since the Minka trade, they are 5-2.
Yeah.
So it, I mean, say what you want.
The greatest trade in the history of the NFL.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Besides Jerome Bettis.
No. Minka, how dare you disrespect Minka Fitzpatrick? He is single-handedly going to win the Super Bowl for the Pittsburgh Steelers this season.
I understand what you're saying, but Jerome Bettis was the greatest running back in the history of the NFL.
Oh, so Jesus Christ. Don't even get me started. Jerome Bettis is the most overrated, fat piece of shit running back in the history of the NFL. He has the lowest yards per carry by any running back in the top 15 yards ever, and I don't even respect you at all for saying anything like that, and I can't get into this.
Sixth all-time Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champ.
Bum. Bum. And that fake-ass commercial where he's playing flag football, stiff-arming dudes and shit. Like, you're not even allowed to do that.
I would never pick him on my flag football team.
He is the complete opposite of what you want on a flag football player. Like, it blows my mind. What is that, a Geico commercial or some shit?
Something.
It's the dumbest commercial ever. You want quick, fast guys, and Jerome Bettis is slow, fat asses out there stiff-arming dudes and dragging dudes around, which you're not even allowed to do.
Excuse me. All right, yeah.
Rant over. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll jump into the offense, and I'll talk a little bit of defense. But one thing I wanted to ask you about, I think Steelers right now have two potential defensive players of the year.
Who? Watt on this team.
Watt Minka. And Minka. I mean, with the numbers they're putting up right now, Watt is still, I think, fourth in the league in sacks. But the way he's playing, he's getting pressure, a lot of behind-the-line tackles.
Yeah.
And Minka, it's unbelievable what he's done.
I don't think you'll see Minka win it, because as much as the MVP is a quarterback.
Not even MVP.
Driven thing. I'm just saying defensive player of the year is, you normally don't see too many like secondary players win it. I'm going to look it up. You go ahead.
sorry. So we'll jump right into the offense, how they looked yesterday. First touchdown, it was like the third play of the game. The Rams, bad snap on Marquise Pouncey. This is becoming a thing with him this year. He's had a lot of – good.
All right, sorry. Do you want to know the last the last secondary player to win defensive player of the year?
Hold on. Troy.
Troy in 2010.
10. Yep, okay.
And then Charles Woodson in 2009. So you've seen a few. Bob Sanders.
I'm surprised Ed Reed never won.
He won in 2004.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, 2004.
So other than that, every single one of them has been a defensive lineman or a linebacker.
That's 15 years ago.
And since 2010, they've either been a defensive lineman or Luke Kuechly one time in there in 2013. So it's been almost 10 years since a defensive back has won defensive player of the year.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll see. If he can continue this.
Oh, yeah. If he continues to play like that, definitely. He'll be,
he'll be in
there for the consideration. And then TJ Watt, how many sacks does he have now? Do you?
I think 8.5.
So not bad. I mean, he's not.
No, he's like fifth in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's not on pace to get 20 something, but
no,
he's been. The Steelers' defensive line yesterday was unstoppable. The Rams literally could not block anybody on that defensive line, and that's something we talked about in the preview show. But it was even worse than what I thought.
Yeah. So right now, Watt has 9.5.
Okay.
Chandler Jones from Arizona has 11.5.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's two out of the league. So he's he's putting together a really good year.
Oh yeah.
He's going to break double digits again for the third year in a row. So.
Yeah.
I think he's on pace to have the most sacks in his first 3 years.
That was my bold prediction.
Him defensive player of the year.
In the beginning of the year. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I also had Aaron Donald breaking the sack record.
Yeah.
So, and That's not happening. He played okay yesterday. Nothing great. But.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, let's jump back into the game. Yeah, that pouncy snap, just a bad snap, scoop and score for the Rams. Tough start to this game. But Steelers came right back. Mason finished the game. Like I said, I gave his numbers earlier, but he was making great throws downfield. He was finding the guys he needed to. He was getting the ball out quick, especially with his pass rush from the Rams. Rams' defensive line is good. There's no other way you could say that. The offensive line for the Steelers held up relatively well in this game.
I thought the offensive line played well. I thought they played really well.
There was a couple points. Look, the running game could not get going. This is a big issue with this team. But the way Mason was throwing the ball yesterday, it really offset that. So I wasn't too concerned. One guy I wanted to talk about real quick, I forgot to pull up his stats, was, hold on, I'm sorry. Tony Brooks James. Okay. He didn't have great numbers in that, but he looked fast. They actually put him back in kick return at one point.
Quick guy, little quick guy.
He was making some good cuts coming out of the backfield.
He won't be active as soon as James Conner's back.
Maybe. I mean, because Edmonds didn't get many carries in this game.
Yeah.
He had a huge interception in this game.
Conner are back. Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah. He has, what, more interceptions than his brother, who was a first-round pick at safety?
Absolutely. Yeah. The announcers kept saying that it was his brother that got the interception. The announcers were awful yesterday. So Mason looked good throwing down the field. The touchdown pass to James Washington was a great back shoulder throw. He just beat the D back, caught it, got his feet down. Amazing play there. But James Washington also had that fumble. Juju didn't have a bad game yesterday. Drew two PIs on Ramsey, had four catches for 47 yards, I think it was. Yeah. But he still beat Ramsey a couple times off the line, got space. Had a and then he also had a big drop in this game too.
I thought the one pass interference they called on Ramsey was kind of
they were soft. Not, yeah, they weren't calling it consistent yesterday.
Yeah,
there was some where it was just a touch. Oh, that's PI. There was other ones where to rip him to the ground and nothing.
Yeah,
like it was so weird.
It's because NFL refs suck.
Yeah, yeah, but. You're absolutely. You can't argue with that. The first half, I thought they played incredibly well. The second half, the play calling became really conservative. They were trying to stick to the lead, didn't want Mason to lose the game for them, which I don't understand some of the decisions they made. They had a running play where they used tight end Vance McDonald.
Yeah.
Which I just don't get some of the things they did.
Yeah.
And then the safety happened with this play calling. Look, you're at the 1 yard line and you do a play action 5 step drop trying to go deep to your fifth string wide receiver.
I get it. It's probably not the best play call in that situation, but they were taking a shot.
It did not work out.
I guess you can take shots like that when you have that much faith in your defense that you're not going to
allow them
to score. And I think that's kind of what played into the conservative play calling the rest of the game. They had that lead, and I think they have so much faith in that defense that it led to that. So,
I guess it's still that play call. But, yeah, like you said, they have faith in the defense, so let's just jump right into them. Every aspect of this defense was on fire yesterday. There wasn't a part of this defense where they were a liability. You had guys making plays on this defense that you thought shouldn't be there. Like Mark Barron, he led the team with 10 tackles, had a great pass breakup on a third down, 4 turnovers. So they have 26 turnovers through 9 games right now, one behind the Pats for the lead. They had 15 total last year. So they're going to double that in the next couple games, which is amazing. Cooper Kupp, the star wide receiver for this team, a guy that everybody was concerned about.
Guy that you called the best receiver in the NFL.
Man, 0 catches on 4 targets. Wow. And it wasn't like they had somebody shadowing him. Everybody took a turn on him. Nobody followed him across the field. I think who was on him most of the time? Mike Hilton because he plays a lot out of slot. So Hilton was on him most of the time, but Hayden had a couple breakups on him. Steven Nelson did. So everybody contributed to shutting him down. Their number one weapon was gone the whole game. Look, Minka, again, just he's everywhere. He had an interception that sealed the game, had a scoop and score. So that's 5 interceptions on the year, 2 touchdowns for him, also with 2 forced fumbles.
Can I bring up something real quick? This is more Rams related. I saw Warren Sharp tweet this out from Sharp Football. He's a big stat guy or whatever.
Okay.
Can we all get off this Sean McVay offensive genius, whatever it is that, and if everybody's been blowing him for the past few years, he put this up. The Rams offense with 2 weeks to prepare, they had 3 points in the Super Bowl and 3 points versus the Steelers. Jared Goff has been 41-for-79 with less than 6 yards per attempt. It's 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 4-of-27 on third downs.
Wow.
That is terrible. And that he is the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He's the highest paid. I saw another thing here. Let me see. It's also said, like, Jared Goff is making $134 million. Mason Rudolph is making $3.92 million. Who would you rather have as your QB?
Yeah.
It's been bad. Sean McVay has been bad, and I'm sick of hearing about him, and I just think he's overrated. But I'm not taking anything away from the Steelers. Their defense was outrageous yesterday. I've just been on the Rams sucking.
You can have that feeling because they look bad. They haven't looked great this year. And then also their one of their better weapons got 12 touches yesterday in Gurley.
Gurley's
I don't know what's going on with him.
Sure his knee is shot. Only carried the ball like 100 times this season. There's been reports of arthritis in his knee. That doesn't go away. So if he has bone on bone in his knee, he's done, man.
Yeah. He had 12 carries yesterday for 73 yards. He was running great for them. But
you don't pay a running back $15 million a year and then not use him.
You're absolutely right.
And they haven't been using him since like week 10 of last year when he got hurt.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's insanity. The Rams, I know we're going on like a Rams thing.
No, you're good.
Yeah. It should be more about the Steelers.
No, don't worry about it.
They are going to be screwed. We talked about it in the preview pod. That offensive line is terrible. They let guys go, and they decided to shell out these big contracts. You saw Brandon Cooks get one. You saw, obviously, Goff, Aaron Donald. They're going to have to pay Ramsey.
Cup.
They gave up most of their draft picks over the next couple years, last year, next year, all this stuff. They are going to be trash in a couple years. They're going to be trash.
They're going to have to gut it.
I don't know how they're going to dump all these huge contracts. They don't have draft picks, or they're going to have to hit on fourth-round picks.
Yeah.
They don't have the draft capital to build around these huge contracts.
Yep.
And you're already seeing it affect them because they didn't pay the offensive linemen they let go last year. And Goff was just getting harassed the entire game. They literally couldn't block anybody on the Steelers' defensive line.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's credit to the Steelers' defensive line being so good.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, I agree with you there. And it wasn't like the Steelers were throwing all-out blitzes at them.
No, they just couldn't block the man in front of them.
They were getting pressure with 4-man rushes, 5-man rushes. Like, they were bringing a person for every lineman and still getting pressure.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of holding calls on them, too, because they were getting beat. So you're absolutely right. Their offensive line is not good.
No, and it's not going to be any better because they don't have – there's nothing they can do. They're not going to have the money for free agents, and they don't have any draft picks. So
I absolutely agree with you, man. I think one big name in this game that is not going to stand out on the stat sheet, but was Javon Hargrave, the D-tackle who's moved out to the end with Stephon Tuitt an injury. He was pushing this line around. Like you said, he was causing a lot of disruptions. He was eating up double teams so TJ and Cam and Bud could get in there and cause a lot of havoc. He that one play, he pushed the lineman like right off the snap, he pushed the center directly into the quarterback and caused him to bounce out. TJ got a sack. It was an amazing game by him that's not going to show up on the stat sheet. And then one last thing on the defense, kind of defensive related, Danny Smith, the special teams coach, he deserves a lot of credit for that special teams, that fake punt. He had them ready for it. They knew what was happening. And they
first off,
it was a horrible call.
Oh, I'll give you that.
It was a stupid call. But the fact that he had his team prepared for that and they got the interception on it, it was amazing.
It was one of the worst fake punts I've ever seen.
Yeah, he lined up as the quarterback. It's not even like
if you're gonna fake it out of like a real punt formation, and then on top of that, if you're gonna go for it, just keep your offense out there.
That was
hilarious.
So one thing I wanted to bring up since we're done talking about the majority of the game, somebody posted this, Zach Metcler, from GZ Sports. He posted this thing, Mason Rudolph versus other second year quarterback starting in the NFL. Right now he is second in completion percentage, 64.5, second in touchdowns, 11, least interceptions, 4, second best TD to interception rate, second best passer rating at 93, and he has been sacked the least at 9.
Wow.
I don't have the list of the other second-year quarterbacks.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's he going
against? But I'll have to look that up, but that's incredible.
Yeah.
For a guy that even me was saying he is not having a good year.
I mean, who's the second-year quarterbacks? You're looking at Baker, Lamar. Those are the big names.
Josh Allen.
So I mean, I'd say Lamar's the best out of them.
Yeah, it hurts to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of shit on me all year. I feel like I've been talking shit on him, but he's been really good.
He's been
better than Baker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to see what Baker can do next week, but
yeah.
They still won yesterday.
Yeah, so I guess that's a good segue.
Yeah, so
into what's coming up. Quick turnaround for the Steelers as they have the Browns on Thursday night. Is that in Cleveland or Pittsburgh?
In Cleveland.
Okay, so you know that crowd can get pretty
rowdy.
Browns have underperformed the entire year. They were able to pull out a win yesterday, barely.
Yeah.
But they have talent. And, I mean, the quick turnaround, I don't know who that benefits more.
I think the Steelers are on fire right now.
Yeah.
It's four straight wins against some, and then Mason has improved steadily over the last couple games. The Browns defense, I'm going to have to look at it. We'll have this for a preview show. I think the Rams defense is better. Looking at it, their line's better. And they have Jalen Ramsey. I mean,
I don't know though. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think either of them have been
amazing.
But I guess this is something we'll save all this for the preview show. But a quick turnaround for the Steelers as they head to Cleveland for a big Thursday night matchup. They need to try to keep pace with the other wild card teams, keep pace with Baltimore at some point. Maybe they slip up. They play Baltimore again. Is it week 17?
17, yeah.
That's going to be a huge game, it seems like. And then the Eagles are coming off their bye. They face New England on Sunday at 4:25. Huge game. And we'll see if the Eagles can get on a roll here. But, Jay, anything else about the Steelers that you want to talk about?
One thing you were talking about for the wild card. So, right now they are tied for that 6th seed. They're tied with Oakland and Indy. So, they have the tiebreaker with Indy.
I saw something that had them above Oakland too.
They are.
I don't know why.
Yeah. They have the tiebreaker with Indy, and then with Oakland, they have a better conference record.
Okay.
So they have the tiebreaker over Oakland too. So right now they are the 6th seed.
Yeah. So it's pretty wild. Huh?
Yeah. And then the 5th seed, you have Buffalo there. Their defense is good, but
Buffalo's going to crash and burn. They're not a very good football team.
And then, Baltimore's 2 losses. So you need them.
So I think
to
it's safe to say that the Steelers are benefiting from a terrible AFC division, and that's the only reason why they are even in this.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah, I don't like you saying it, but I guess you could.
Oh, I'm just kidding. They're good. They're good. They have a great defense. Minkah Fitzpatrick is literally carrying them to the Super Bowl this year. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I love how much you hated that trade. I wanted to find that in the episode of just the rant you went on about how this was an awful trade.
Hey, the Steelers are outperforming what anybody thought. I don't want to hear it. You didn't think they'd do this well either.
I didn't give up on them, though. I also said,
of course,
I didn't
not. Think you they said you needed anything. To have faith, because then what else would you have in life?
But I also didn't say, like everybody else, that they were going to finish with 5 wins on the year.
Yeah.
I knew. I said,
hey, they might lose every game from here on
you're
out.
You're absolutely right. But I also said 8-8.
Yeah.
So they could improve on that.
They've been playing good football.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to wrap it up there. We'll be back with our preview show on Thursday.
Yeah.
And yeah, big week coming up for both teams. Jay, go ahead. Anything else?
No, so check us out on Twitter at @Birds_Berg, Facebook page, Birds in the Berg podcast. Please like, subscribe, review on all podcasting sites, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Please leave any comments, concerns, questions, anything like that on the pages. We will talk back, and that's it.
There it is. That was the Birds in the Berg football podcast, episode 32. We will talk to you on Thursday.